ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 8. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
They got their brand new car, and they're going down the road, and it was all on the EBT card. This is our rich people in America. We can do whatever we want. So this is what's made our generation kind of unique. The utopia versus the dystopia. Use that for a minute in your mind. You are now living in a dystopian world. The devil tried to create a utopian world, but there's evil in the hearts of men. When our country was founded, it was founded by people who believed in the Bible. And they believed that the nature of man was to be sinful, to be selfish, to be self-absorbed, and to subjugate other people. One of our great wounds was that we had the slavery issue. We are the only country that ever fought each other to fix it. So for all of those who think we're so bad and we have all this, rain on all that. This was a good country. It started in good ground. And God has blessed us beyond anything we could have imagined. But this is historically unique. And because we were so blessed, those who were outside of our borders hated us. And it became a problem. And in many cases, it became nefarious as time went on. Early on, it wasn't quite like it is now. Things have been bad for many years in our generation. But there's always been people who've tried to be usurpers. Just understand, contextually, this is on the face of the whole earth. You've got Alexander all the way over here on the west. And he comes on like lightning. He had a 12-year career as a military leader, and it's all it took him to subjugate the whole world. He was like 32, 33 when he died, so that tells you how old he was when he started. Think about it. He was a kid. You know that Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote the Constitution, he was 32 years old. I mean, that's brilliance right there. How long does it take us to get brilliant, you know? But man, these guys, just nothing could stop them. So here's a young man, he comes out of nowhere and he blasts across the thing. He's called a he-goat, which makes sense because he's smaller. He's not the Medes and the Persian, the lumbering bear. He's not that. He's a leopard. He's sleek and he's fast and he's also a he-goat. And he's got a notable horn, the Bible says in verse 5, and that is, of course, the leader of the Greeks. Now, you got to realize the place of the Greeks in the Old Testament times. The Greeks were the ones who actually, when they conquered the world, they settled the world. They Hellenized the world. That's why you have Jesus and his people in that day. They were very familiar with the Greek language. Much of our Bible comes to us in Greek because it was the common man's verbiage. Okay, and so what you have is you have Greek. You have the roads were built up. They were brought along more fully among the Romans. But there was this Hellenization. Everybody had a language of commerce. And it was usually Greek. They had a Greek classical and they had a Greek koine. Koine means common, just like the coin in your pocket. They had a koine Greek everybody would speak. Right now, English is the koine of the world. That's the language of commerce. You'll hear people speaking with a harsh accent sometimes in videos from other nations. Okay, that's because that's the language of commerce, and we've really impacted the world because we've become the leader in many ways over the past few centuries. And so what we're looking at here is a notable horn. And it was between his eyes. So this kingdom's coming. It's coming from the far west. And the Bible says in verse 6, and he came to the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran unto him in the fury of his power. Now, when you see him coming, he comes with a couple things. He comes in the fury. He comes in power. Verse 7 says, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. Choler is an interesting word. It means to trickle. It means bitterness. And it has the idea of something that's slow and got worse and worse and worse and worse and just kind of miserable. And so he had a bitterness. And you almost have to go back and kind of figure out why. Well, part of the reasons historians believe that he was so bitter against the Medes and the Persians was because they had pushed so far over that they got to Greece. And when they got to Greece, they really mercilessly dealt with the Greek people. But they didn't conquer it. So you can think about the decimations and the people that were lost, but they didn't win. And you got this guy chomping at the bit. You may have heard people saying they killed every man, woman, boy, girl, you know, in a country. And that's so that the children couldn't rise up and come back and avenge their families. Well, he's one of the kids that was there being taught by Aristotle in a time. And then they came along and his father was killed by an assassination. He got to be king at a young age. And And then he had nothing to think about but all this vim and vigor of a young man. What do you do in those days, you know? They could play, you know, they could go out and fox hunt and all that. No, he had an angst. And he had a reason. His people had been hurt and diminished. And they believe that that is, in fact, what really motivated his cholera. It wasn't just like everything else. Okay, so what we're seeing is he came to the ram in verse 6 that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and he ran unto him in the fury of his power, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with cholera against him, and he smote the ram and brake the two horns. Now, this is unheard of. This is a marvel, right? I mean, a little goat's taking out a ram that knows what it is to hit. He hits this goat, though, and that's another thing. That's remarkable. That's amazing. This is epic, right? This doesn't happen. And the Bible says that he broke those two horns. So now you have the Medes and the Persians lying with no strength left in them. So you're seeing a lot of things unfold here. I want to give you a couple of things that you might not know. As this man comes into the fore now, we've got Alexander the Great. We've talked about him before, but when this man got done with his dealing with the Medes and the Persians, the Bible says he wasn't content just to break their horns. The Bible says he cast him down and he stamped him upon the ground, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. I want you to know in this little section about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great took 12 years to conquer the known world of his day. He conquered it. And he said the only thing that he regretted was that he had no more worlds to conquer. But in his campaigns, he comes down into Israel. He's coming down alongside, and of course, it was kind of a trade route where everybody would go because you'd come around the Mediterranean Sea. And he's coming down there, and he's taken city by city as he comes. And as he comes to Tyre and Sidon, he takes his campaign, he puts it there. Now, interestingly enough, others had tried to take down Tyre before. And not only did they try to take it down, they tried to take it down with great force and great effort, and nobody could get to them. Why? Because Sidon was the great city, Tyre was the old city, and then there was the Tyre that had moved about a half mile out into the sea. And it was on a piece of rock or something, it's like a little island, but it became the new Tyre. And it was the port of the world. Everybody would come there with their boats. All trade would go through them. And they had so much money, it was just beyond imagining. They had pillars, and they had idols, and they had every kind of sin. It was a virtual Vanity Fair and all filled with evil. But it was Israel's land. So it's really kind of something God, you know, hated. They had Tyre and Sidon. And, you know, these people were just corrupt because of all of the filthy richness that was there. But when Alexander came down, after 12 years of assault on it before by others, great empires, they couldn't do anything. But this guy comes along, he brings it down in 7 months. Okay, 7 months. But while he was going after it for 7 months, he ends up having a problem with supplies. Because what he does is he breaks up old Tyre and he's throwing it into the Mediterranean Sea and he's making a way to get to it. This is how he broke it. He just came up with a new idea. He took the whole city and he drove it into the dirt and made a little bridge there of earth. And they got there and they overtook it. But he came up short on supplies, so he telegraphs down here to Jerusalem and he says, you guys need to, you know, help us with some supplies. We need some support here because we're running low. And there was a guy named Jadua. He was the priest of the city at the time. And he told them, we really can't. I'm sorry to say, we can't. He wasn't belligerent. He just said, we can't. We're under covenants with other people. We don't have the ability. And this is a beautiful story for some of you who've heard it. But if you've never heard it, it's amazing. Because what ends up happening is, he says, well, if you don't come, then I'm going to do worse to you than I'm doing to this city now. They didn't answer. So after he was all done, he got that all subjugated, he comes over the hillside, he looks at that city. The city gates are wide open. Jadua had had a dream of himself in his mitre and all of his glorious dress as a high priest. And he had all of his priests standing there at the sides of the doors of the city of Jerusalem. And they're standing there just awaiting his arrival. Probably knees knocking, right? This is terrible. These guys are going to come. Nobody's stopping. But as soon as Alexander the Great saw them, it's like he held his hand up for everybody to stop. And he took his second or his right arm and he says, we're going forward. And they went down. And when they got down to the gate, Alexander the Great got off of his horse, went up to Jadua, and bowed to the ground. And when he had rose up and came back, he says, but he said, why did you do that? He said, why did you bow before that man? He said, I didn't bow before that man. I bowed before the God that man represents. And then he told him the story of how when he was going to start his campaign to overtake. Now, this is the title of the message, is his leaders. Remember that? When I was getting ready to undertake my campaign, I had a dream and I saw this man and these people and those gates and that wall. And I saw it in my dream. And I knew that I was supposed to go and conquer. And I had confidence by virtue of that dream. And so when I saw that man, I knew the God that had called me to do what I'm doing was here. After that encounter, they took them in and they refreshed all of these Greeks, sat Alexander down and showed him in the scriptures about a leopard and about a he-goat. Isn't that cool? Not only that, but Josephus tells us that as they were parting company, that Alexander asked Jaddua, what can we do for you? And he gave a couple of minor requests. One had to do with taxation, you know, go easy on us and that kind of thing. And he went on his way being assured because the scripture said he would win. Isn't that amazing? Is God precise? Is God amazing? Is God awesome? This is the stuff of, I don't even know what to say, inspiration. This is God who calls the end from the beginning, right? He knows the end from the beginning. He lets these people come into their own and he brings them forward and he allows them to see that he is the one who's in charge. With Nebuchadnezzar, it was 7 years in a pasture that got his heart. With this man, Alexander the Great, he may not have gotten saved, but he definitely got an eye-opening experience from the dream to the encounter to the scriptures. Listen, people know in their hearts there is a God. The Bible says God has showed it to them. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day, they utter their speech. There is no language in which their voice is not heard. God is the Creator. And the Bible says that God has revealed to every man, woman, boy, and girl the invisible things of God, which can't be seen because you see it in creation. You see it in your conscience. And if you keep tracing that thread, what you will find is the Scriptures. And that's what happened with this man, Alexander the Great. He had a dream. And he went in the power of that dream. For him, it was just a dream. Until it wasn't. I remember when I was a little boy, God made himself known to me in some little feeling of a little kid. It's in my mind, I felt like I was being watched. Not only did I think I was being watched, but it's so pervasive in my mind that I felt like I was like Dorothy's Auntie M looking for her when she saw the crystal ball. Remember Auntie M? Where's Dorothy? Dorothy, where are you? I just felt like I was the guy in the crystal ball and somebody was watching me. I'm not saying it's funny or cool. I'm just telling you, God impressed upon a little boy running on a trail all alone that he was watching me. And I told you about the story recently about a little boy in our neighborhood. His daddy doesn't know God and he's had some hits and he's renounced God, as it were. And he laid him off. If there was a guy, it wouldn't happen. That kind of feeling many people get. And so his son, he's just like 3 or 4 years old. He's sitting there with my wife. After telling him a Bible story, he said, I don't believe in God. Because his daddy doesn't believe in God. I don't believe in God. But I know he watches me. We have a God who sees you, knows you, understands you, knows what's going on. We are in a day right now that is epic. And we cannot afford to be lethargic and do business as usual. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And God is saying, I want to break your love affair with the world. I want you to sit up straight. I want you to lean in on the scriptures. I want you to realize your sword is in the book. You cannot fight down here right now effectively unless you know this book.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.